the spirit of faith, at least this round. We never talk about faith. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we're ever going to talk about the spirit of faith again. It doesn't mean that, because this is something we need every day. This is something we live by all the time as Christians. Amen. The just shall live by faith. So in this eighth installment, we are talking about faith as a sacrificer. Faith as a sacrificer. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says this: we having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So as we shared in the previous weeks, the spirit of faith will function and deploy as. So we're going to give you eight complete different functions or deployment aspects of the spirit of faith. So when your spirit of faith will deploy as a servant, as a soldier, as a shield, as a stance, as a speaker, as a seer, and last week we shared as a supplicator. And today in our final installment in this series, we want to learn and receive about faith as a sacrificer. Everybody say faith as a sacrificer. So sacrificing means we sacrifice. About sacrifice for yourself. Faith, but it's for God and for the things of God. So let's get that up front. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Abel's example of sacrifice. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. Now, sacrifice in the Merriam-Webster dictionary means an act of offering deity something precious. Now, we know God is pleased with faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But one of the parts and aspects of faith that he's pleased with is faith's sacrifice that it offers. We see this in the first example of our elders as a testimony of what faith is and what kinds of faith testifies goodness to the Lord that he accommodates or compliments. So one of the key lessons we're going to learn today, sacrifice to God. Why? Because after all of man, Adam, through Adam and Eve, Abel's parents, who they were, making a sacrifice was the way God gave humans to interact with him and worship him. This is a way that we interact with God and worship him. The Bible teaches us that we are to make spiritual and excellent sacrifices to God by our faith and our life of faithfulness to God. It is to function in the role of a sacrifice. Now, part of this was the priest's job, but we've been made kings and priests unto our God. Hebrews tells us that priests are ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Now, in the Old Testament, it was animal sacrifices. In the New Testament, Jesus made the ultimate once and only sacrifice. But we are to emulate him by his living sacrifice, by us being living sacrifices. We're not killing stuff. We're not going to be slinging blood in church. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, thank God for that. Amen. You imagine what COVID. Come to church and cut animals and have blood running down the middle. Man, the health department be beaming out our door, right? Trying to shut us down. But thank God for his sacrifice. But this is the first example of faith in Hall of Faith. Hall of Faith. We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is not about us receiving. Now, there's where people get it out of. They think, well, I learned about faith. Oh, I can get clothes. I can get stuff. But this first example should set a precedent and a priority in our focus and for our faith, which is what? It was not about us receiving something from God. It was about giving God something. Everybody see that? In the New Testament, we see these references to sacrifices. Listen to these New Testament examples. First, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices pleasing to God. It's 1 Peter 2:5. Read in the New Living Translation. We are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Everybody say, I am. A holy priest. Now, some people, it's hard for them to confess that because they have thinking religion. They're not talking about, they're not thinking relationship. They're thinking religion, so they think about what kind of religions have priests. But our relationship to God is one, in one aspect, is a priest, a holy priest. He said, through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. So if you go back and let's just view the month of November and say, what were my spiritual sacrifices that God was pleased with, that I offered? Secondly, we are to offer holy and acceptable sacrifices of a transfigured body and a transformed mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation, it says, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Because of all he has done for you. How many know allow Jesus to tell us what to do in our bodies, with our bodies? He said, let our bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to what? Worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is clearly telling us that God wants us to be holy in our bodies and in our minds. Now, I want to talk to you about this for a minute, because some people think holiness is just behavior holiness. That means I'm not cheating, I'm not cussing, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing drugs. And so they only categorize holiness by not doing those things. No, their holiness is akin to what we call sanctification. That means you've been holy positionally. That means you've been set apart exclusively for God. Now, some people, because of just not learning, they think, well, my body, I do what I want. I get up when I want. I pray when I feel like it. I read and do my devotions and study the word whenever I want. Well, that's you using your body and not God using your body. Some people even extend it to the areas of eating. The Lord got on me recently just about that. You know, because we eat what we want to eat. We do what we want to do in our body. See, when you're holy, that means God is, I've set apart my body for God's use and for God's purposes and for God's plans. And so I'm not just doing with my body what I choose to do. I do what he chooses for me to do. Amen. It's a holy sacrifice. It's a living. That means you're not cutting yourself. You're not killing yourself and bleeding yourself. You are giving yourself as a holy sacrifice to God. Amen. Amen. If I'm going to give my body to God, I'm going to be behaviorally do things in my body that pleases God and not displeases him. Amen. Now, how many know it takes faith to do it? Because your flesh will say, Jesus said, and flesh profits what? Nothing. So if I follow my fleshly impulses and you find something, you know, in your body that's appealing to your body, like a member of the opposite sex or a member of the same sex, and you get attracted and you allow yourself to be allured into that inappropriate, amen, relationship, then that's not being holy. That's being unholy. Somebody say glory to God. All right, I'm going to stop meddling right now. Okay, third, our offerings are to be a sweet-smelling and acceptable sacrifice to God. I'm talking about sacrifices. Faith is a sacrifice. Philippians 4:18 says, New Living, at the moment I have all I need and more, I am generously with the gift with Aphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, notice the focus of who's accepting them and who's pleased with them. The focus is not on you. The focus is on God. So faith as a sacrifice, as a sacrificer, focuses not on you, but pleasing and being acceptable to him, to God. Amen. So if we take the offering bucket today and we held it up and say, God, what do you think about? What do you smell? What are you smelling? Is it sweet or is it sour? When I hold my offering up to the Lord, is it sweet, Lord? Or is it sour? Is it bitter? Y'all know what happens when you walk into a bathroom, public bathroom or whatever, and you know it doesn't smell good. The first taste of that bathroom experience is your sense of smell. And y'all here with me today. Yes. You smell and say, you can determine, you judge that restaurant a lot of times by the bathroom, how it looks and how it smells. So God looks at our offerings and smells it. Somebody say glory to God. It has to be acceptable and pleasing to him. Fourth, we offer the sacrifice of praise. You know, we go back, spiritual sacrifices, the holy and acceptable sacrifice of our transfigured body and transformed mind, and then our offerings as a sacrifice, and we offer the sacrifice of praise. Fourthly, Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us through Jesus, offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. In other words, why does it go through? Because he's our mediator. He's our great high priest. We are holy priests, but he's the holy great high priest. And so we offer him, or in his name and by his authority, we offer the sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Now, when is appropriate for sacrifice? When you don't feel like doing it. When it doesn't look like you should do it. Amen. Are you listening to me? Because bad things happen just because the Bible says in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means we're going to have a lot of trouble. Jesus even said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. So don't think faith is the absence of problems, pain, or pressure. So when you have problems, when you have pain, when you have pressure of circumstances coming against you, you got to offer the sacrifice of praise, because you don't feel like praising, you feel like pouting. You don't feel like praising, you feel like crying and complaining. But that's when you should praise. Through Jesus, that means I'm loyal to you. I'm committed to you, Lord. I'm going to praise you all the way through this problem. I'm going to praise you all the way through this pain. I'm going to praise you all the way through this pressure of circumstances. I offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abel, as we go back to him, was one of the who provides faith through worship, because sacrifice involves worship. And the, one of the first lessons we learn about faith in Hebrews 11 is that how to worship God. Faith teaches us how to worship God. We see other examples of faith teaching us how to work for God. Faith teaches us how to walk with God. Faith teaches us how to witness for God. Faith teaches us how to war for God. And so we've talked about all those things previously, but let's focus on faith. Because as we enter into a holiday season, Christmas is really about worship. We even call it, what do we call the service? A worship service. You break those two words apart. Very powerful. All right. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Reading out of King James, it says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain was the oldest brother, firstborn. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and the offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, talking about the Lord, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So God respected, which means he received, Abel's offering. Not respect, which means he did not receive Cain's offering. Now we talk about worship because worship provides an offering of my body, of my mind, of my spiritual sacrifices, of my offerings. Are you listening? These are things we offer, of my sacrifice of praise. What am I offering to God? That's my worship. People think worship is when we just have the slow songs and we close our eyes and maybe tear up and get emotional. Perhaps we get goosebumps. Worship is our lifestyle and our living by faith, because faith has to serve and function occasionally and often as a sacrifice. As a sacrifice. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Now, so there's three parts of this of worship to help us understand the story. Listen to this. Number one, listen. Everybody say listen. Everybody say listen. You shouldn't always, you should always interpret the Old Testament testimonies in the light of the New Testament. So we look at Genesis chapter 4 in the light, we have to look at it in the light of Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by just having heard. And so when people come to church and say, well, I heard that before, they're not listening. They're going off of, I've heard it. I know what to do. I got this. They're not humbling themselves to worship. They're just haughty themselves. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. So, of course, we all say, what are the two questions you ask when you come to church or you come to any meeting? Who can I help? What can I learn? So you can see the younger brother, Abel, was listening to his parents. We know faith means listening to God's word, ultimately, and placing full value on it. That means we're saying, what does the word say? Abel listened. He listened to his parents, Adam and Eve, and who told them how God provided a method of worship for them after they sinned. We are in a fallen state now. Mom, Dad, Adam, Eve, how do I approach God? How do I offer things to God? He listened. Number two, he learned. Learn. Everybody say learn. Just because we hear something doesn't always mean we've learned it. Abel listened, but he also learned he needed to be covered. Because Adam learned, and Eve learned the wrong way because they tried to cover themselves. Y'all know the story. They covered themselves when they fell with what? Fig leaves and aprons. And in other words, they tried something religious, but God says that wasn't righteous. Religion always tries to cover yourself. They were in guilt and fear and in hiding, and they tried to be religious instead of trying to be righteous. He said, you can't be self-righteous. It's basically self-righteousness. So they couldn't be self-righteous. He said, we got to be God righteous. God, he said, let me take care of it for you. I'm the one that can cover you. So he killed a lamb and covered them with lambskins. He said, you can't cover yourself. He learned that lesson that it needed to involve an animal, somebody or something that he couldn't control. Amen. Abel learned this, and he understood animals were key to sacrifices and worship. Just as an animal was sacrificed physically to cover Adam and Eve, and an animal sacrifice was required to cover man spiritually, until Jesus, the Lamb of God, became our living sacrifice. Amen. And then number three, live. Everybody say live. Abel took the first and the best to sacrifice to God. Abel sets the precedent for us giving our best to God, our best effort, and what God accepts and loves. Now, when it says he brought, here it is, he brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. That phrase in the Old Testament Hebrew means he brought the best, the first, and the best. He brought the best to God. In other words, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to give our best to God. We can't come to God and say, I'm giving you my B and C game, because, God, you know what I've been going through. God, I'm going to give you my leftovers because you know what I have going on and what I have coming up. Amen. He gave his best to God. And guess what the standard is for us? If we're going to worship God, we got to give him our best. Our best offering, our best body, our best fitness, our best mindset, our best attitude and emotional well-being and health, our best praises, our best time, our best talent, and share our best testimony of the Lord in our lives? Are you giving your best? Our very best sacrifices that please, honor, and glorify and magnify our Father God through our Lord Jesus. Amen. See, we listen intently to and purposely in order to learn and live it out loud in our lives. Again, this example of faith from Abel is not about us receiving something from God. It's about giving God something. Now, some people say, well, yeah, I don't get anything but once a month. Yeah, but you have a life every day. A life every day means you give something to God every day. Amen. Faith is a sacrificer. It's also joyfully. Faith is a sacrificer. It serves joyfully. Now, listen to these scriptures here. Romans 8:17. Reading all out of New Living Translation. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But we also are to share in his glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share his sufferings. Now, you see, Jesus suffered. He didn't build a reputation for himself. He built a big reputation about God. And what God was doing. Man, I could spend an hour on that one, but whose reputation are you building? Whose glory are you promoting? Yours or God's? Amen. Amen. Jesus suffered by not getting to do everything he wanted to do. When it was time to leave his Father's business, you can imagine he's sanding his last chair and polishing the last piece of wood because he was a carpenter's son, and in the natural sense with Joseph, and he turned that business over, but then he went to the ministry and he had to suffer, not having to use his divine privileges and advantages as the Son of God. He had to get tired. He had to go through persecution and face problems and deal with people. But why? Because he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. He became the captain of our salvation because he suffered. He knew he had to take his cross at some point, 3.5 years later in his ministry, and look to the cross. He endured the cross. He endured the suffering that he had to go through from the hands of and people who betrayed him. Too many times we think faith is easy. It's on a street where we don't have any problems or pain or pressure, that we're somehow we anesthetize ourselves. I'm not supposed to be having problems. Yes, you're in faith, you're going to have lots of problems. Really, the sign of faith that you're in faith is when you're uncomfortable. It's not comfort. The American dream shoots for comfort, but we in faith, we get afflicted in our comfort. Second Timothy 3:12. Yea, and everyone who wants to live godly in life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Did Jesus get persecuted? Are you going to be persecuted? You're going to be. It's part of the package. 2 Timothy 3:3. The first one was, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:3 says, endure sufferings along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Endure sufferings. See, suffering in the word in the Greek is a word that says to undergo hardship or pain. Now, how do we undergo it? Joyfully? That means endurance, cheerful endurance. Or we're going to be complaining, crying, and criticizing everybody. Now, let's read Hebrews. Let's get a backdrop of Hebrews 11 and look at Hebrews chapter 10. Y'all good? Verse 32 through 39. It says, but call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great fight of what? Infliction. He's talking to people of God. In which you were illuminated. When you got a revelation of faith, you endured a great fight of affliction. Why? Because the devil trying to take it from you. If he can get your faith and defeat your faith, he can defeat you. He can take your victory. Partially while you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions. Now, that doesn't seem like merry good old times. And partly while you became companions of them who were so used. You had compassion for me in my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. When you begin to express faith in God, not everyone will cheer you on. So sometimes you got to sacrifice being popular and pleasing everybody. I mean, you need to downright repent of being a people pleaser. And start being a God pleaser. Amen. Amen. Not everybody's going to cheer you on living by faith. Not everyone will say, way to go. Not everyone's going to high five you. Today, social distancing, air high fives. They will make fun of you, ridicule and scold you, and try to make you feel like a fool for having faith. Amen. So we have to really see these scriptures that we just read as insights into faith that we shouldn't neglect or ignore. So first thing we need to know is faith is not easy. Verse 32, Hebrews 10. But recall the former days after you were illuminated, you were endured a great struggle with sufferings. New King James says it that way. Great struggle with sufferings. How many of you can testify, we've had endure some great struggles with sufferings, particularly 2020. Anyone who tries to propagate the idea that walking by faith, having faith in God, or being a person of faith will somehow be smooth road without conflicts is not being honest. This verse references people who are dealing with great struggles and suffering. The Hebrew people were dealing with the same stuff that we have to deal with. Business stuff, family stuff, marriage stuff, health stuff, come on now, personal stuff, financial stuff, stuff from the past. Life isn't easy, wasn't easy, and neither was faith. What's more, faith did not make life any easier. There will be people who look down on your faith. Like I said before, verse 33, partly while you were made a spectacle, both in reproaches and tribulations, partially became companions of those who were so treated. That means they treated them badly. What do you mean you're living for Jesus? What do you mean you're giving your money? What do you mean you're serving in church? They scold you. They ostracize you. They criticize you. Third, faith will get you through tough times. Because we see in verse 34, for you had companion with me in my chains, joyfully accepting the plundering of your, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. You're not living for temporary. You're living for eternity. Like we said before, faith is just not for clothes, cars, and cribs. Faith is also for crises. Faith helps us handle painful situations. Faith in and under crisis makes the appropriate sacrifices. Why? Because faith pleases God. And as you sacrifice in faith, your focus is to for God to accept and be pleased with your sacrifice. Amen. These people were able to withstand ridicule and torment because they knew this truth. Faith endures. And faith sacrifices. They knew faith was something that would be worth it all. I don't know what your tough times entail specifically, but I'm certain of this. Faith is what going to get you through it. Faith is bigger than life and is a possession no one can steal from you. They might steal your finances, but they can't steal your faith. They might steal your family peace, but they can't steal your faith. Your faith level is your victory level. If you keep your faith will get you the victory. Number fourth, don't give up on your faith no matter what. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. See, the road of faith isn't easy, and it will endure as long as you don't abandon it. So God, you know, is going to use the people who stay in faith, who maintain a spirit of faith, as we transition this year out and transition the new year in, as the Lord tarries his coming, he's looking for people who have faith. Amen. And people who are faithful. Somebody say praise God. The stakes are too high, ladies and gentlemen. We are dealing with eternity here. Nothing is worth abandoning eternity. Praise God. Come on, stand to your feet. Thank God. Let's thank God for a moment. Let's just thank him for the privilege that we have to have faith. To have faith in him. To live by faith. To walk by faith. To talk by faith. And from today.